This week's parsha is Parshas Acharei Mois, and we will start in chapter 18, verse number 1. The verse says, "Adaber Hashem el Moshe leimor." Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Daber bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, v'amartu aleihem, and say to them, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, am Hashem your God." Rashi explains why does Hashem need to say again, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem," that am Hashem your God. So Rashi brings two interpretations. The first interpretation, Rashi said, that I am the one who said at Sinai that I am your God and you accepted my sovereignty. Therefore, you are required to follow my decrees. And the second interpretation Rashi brings down is in the name of Rabbi, that Hashem knew that eventually the Jewish people are going to be exiled because of the sin of immorality, as in fact it happened in the days of Ezra. Therefore, he comes with the decree and tells him in advance that I am Hashem your God, do mi goyzer aleichem, that you should know who is making the decree, that meaning Hashem is making the decree, dayan lipora, that Hashem is a judge who exacts punishment, v'nemon leshalim sachar, and is faithful to pay the reward. Meaning that if you follow Hashem's mitzvahs, then you'll get the reward, otherwise you'll get the punishment. Therefore Hashem already says in advance, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, you should know that I'm Hashem, the Midas Rachmim, who gives you your reward. Elokeichem, I'm also the Midas Adin, that's eventually going to give you punishment if you do not follow my word. The verse continues, Kema'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim, asher yishavtem ba lo yisasu, like the practices of the land of Egypt that you dwell there, do not do. Uchema'aseh Eretz Knan, asher ani mevieschem shama, lo yisasu, and like the actions, the practices of the Canaanites of the land of Canaan that I'm taking you there, you should not do. Uvechukoyseichem lo yiseleichu, do not follow their decrees. Rashi is bothered why did the Torah specifically pick these two places. Rashi says that it tells you that the practices of the Egyptians and the practices of the Canaanites are more degenerate than all the nations. And the place that the Jewish people said, meaning the land of Goshen, was the most degenerate of all Egypt. And therefore the Torah tells you that you should not do according to their practices. And also the land of Israel that you are going to go in there, the people there are most degenerate of all the nations of the world. The Ibn Ezra connects what is written in this week's Parsha to what is written in the previous Parsha in chapter 17, verse number 7, where the verse there says, "Velo yizbechu oid ezivcheim la'asirim," you should no longer slaughter their sacrifices to the demons, asher hem zoinim achareihem, that they stray after them, which means that after the Hashem tells us not to do idolatry, Hashem says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, don't do idolatry because I'm Hashem your God, you should only worship me. And to that it continues and says that you should not do like the actions of the Egyptians, because the Egyptians are the ones that were very much involved in idolatry, so therefore don't do like their actions. And the Ebenezer continues and says that Chemase Eretz Kanan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama, like the actions of the Canaanites that I bring you there, you should not do, that is speaking about the sin of immorality. Meaning, the Hashem is warning us here about the two great sins, the sins of idolatry, which the Egyptians did, and the sin of immorality, which the Canaanites were much involved. The Ramban adds to it that clearly our rabbis learned that the Egyptians were also very much involved in immorality. Then according to the Ramban, what is written, you shouldn't do like the actions of the Egyptians, it refers to immorality, and you shouldn't do like the actions of the Canaanites, it also refers to immorality. The only problem we have with this interpretation is that if it's true that both of them have to do with immorality only, then why doesn't the Torah put them together? Why doesn't the Torah say like the actions of the Egyptians and the Canaanites do not do? Why does the Torah separate them and says, like the Egyptians that you were there, do not do, and like the Canaanites that you are coming in, do not do? If both of them are the same actions, why does the Torah have to tell me both actions separately? And besides the point, why does the Torah need to stress me that I shouldn't do these sins? Clearly, if you already tell me that I can't do immorality, I know I can't do these sins. Why is it necessary to give us an example or to tell us that we can't do specifically if they are only referring to the sins of immorality? The Kli Yakar does not like Rashi's answer, even though Rashi's answer is written in the Medrash in Toras Kahanim, and the Kli Yakar says that if it's true that those places that the Jewish people were and they are going into are the most corrupt places that we have, then why does Hashem need to tell us don't do like the actions of the Egyptians, which implies that we shouldn't do like the totally corrupt actions of the Egyptians, but we could do like the less corrupt actions of different nations? The same thing, we shouldn't do like the corrupt actions of the Canaanites, meaning that we shouldn't be totally corrupt as the Canaanites, which implies that we could be a little corrupt. Clearly, that's the wrong implication. Then why does the Torah give the examples of the two harshest places that we shouldn't act like that? Therefore, the Kli Yakar says quite opposite. The Kli Yakar says that the places that the Torah describes here are the least corrupt places in the whole world. And he explains that clearly, if Goshen would be the most corrupted place in Egypt, then Yosef would not have chosen this land for the Jewish people. Clearly, if Yosef chose the land of Goshen for the Jewish people, obviously Goshen is the least corrupted place in Egypt. And clearly, Iklan is the least corrupted place from all other nations. And we could bring a proof to the Kli Yakar from what is written in the Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Lech Lecha, Parshas Lamedtes, Simon Ches, where there it says, Om Rablevi says, Beshoshoy Avram Mahalech Baram Naraim, Ivaram Nochor. When Avram Avinu was walking in Aram Naraim, in Aram Nochor, he saw that they were eating, drinking, and they were involved in mockery. Then Avram Avinu says, Halavai Loyeli Chelek Beretz Azois, I wish I shouldn't have a portion of this land. And as soon as he came to the ladders of Tzor, which is the borders of Eretz Yisrael, and he came to the land of Canaan, then he saw that they were removing the thorns at the time that you're supposed to remove the thorns. And they were gathering the wood, and we're supposed to gather the wood. Then Avraham Avinu says, I wish my portion should be with this land. So Hashem told them, since you chose this land, in fact, Lezarachu Eten Esaras Azois, to your children I give this land. So we see clearly that Avraham Avinu picked the land of Canaan because the land of Canaan was the best land. The people there had the best character. Therefore, the Kli Yakar says that the meaning of the verse is quite the opposite. That even like the people in Goshen, which were the least corrupted, nonetheless, we don't want you to act. Because even though they are the least corrupted, nonetheless, they are still corrupted. And also like the actions of the people of Canaan, which were the least corrupted of all the nations, you should not act, because they were still corrupted. As an aside, we cannot ask, according to the Kli Yakar, that seems that the land of Canaan was the least corrupted people, then why in Bereshis chapter 24, Parshas Chayesara, when Avraham Avinu asks Eliezer to look for a wife for Yitzchak, he clearly says there, do not take a girl from Canaan. If I say that Canaan is not corrupted, then why shouldn't Avraham Avinu take a girl from Canaan? Clearly he should try to take a girl from Canaan rather from the other places. The answer could be that since Hashem had promised to Avraham Avinu that this land is going to be his, Avraham Avinu wanted that this land should come to be his because Hashem promised, not because of an inheritance that he got from Canaan. Meaning that if Yitzchak would have married a Canaanite woman, then clearly people would have said that it was not Hashem that gave this land to the Jewish people. This land was inherited by Yitzchak through his wife. Therefore, Avraham Avinu did not want people to say that, and he wanted that people should know that Hashem promised us this land, and we are going to get this land because of Hashem's promise. Avraham Avinu told Eliezer not to get a wife for Yitzchak from Canaan. And the Kli Yakar continues, and the Kli Yakar says, why is it written two times, don't do the action like the Egyptians, and don't do the action like the land of Canaan. The Cleoker says that this is referring to two separate sins the Jewish people did, meaning it is not necessarily referring to the sin of immorality or the sin of idolatry. It is referring to two different sins that the Jewish people committed, and Hashem wants us to be careful not to commit again. The Cleoker explains that the first sin is what is written in Bereshit chapter 47, verse number 27, where there it says, after Yaakov Avinu came with the Jewish people to Egypt, it's written, Vayeshev Israel, Beretz Mitzrayim, and Israel settled in the land of Egypt, Beretz Goshen, in the land of Goshen, Vayeachzu Bo, and they took hold in it, Vayifru, Vayibemoid, and they were fruitful and multiplied greatly, which means clearly, as Rashi says, they bought houses, they bought estates, and they decided that they're going to settle in the land of Egypt, even though Hashem told them that they should be in Eretz Yisrael and they will be sojourning in the land of Egypt. Nonetheless, the Jewish people decided to settle in the land of Egypt, and this is what the Torah is warning us here. Therefore, the Torah says, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim, like the actions that you did in the land of Egypt, Asher Yeshavtem Bo, that you decided that you are going to dwell in it, Lo Yisasu, you should not do, which means that a Jewish person has to know that his place is Eretz Yisrael, that anywhere that he is outside of Eretz Yisrael, he is only sojourning, that a person should not get comfortable where he is and think that this is where he has to be. He should always know that his place is really Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, the Torah is warning you that you should not act like you did in Egypt, even though we were in Egypt for 210 years. Nonetheless, these 210 years should have been as sojourning and not dwelling. And because we dwelled, Hashem punished us, and therefore we should not dwell in other lands, and we should know that only the land of Eretz Yisrael is our home. And then the Cleoker says, Uchamasa Eretz Canaan, Asher ani meviaschem shama lo yisasu, and like the actions that you did to the land of Canaan, that you tried the most not to come into the land of Canaan, until Hashem had to force you to come into the land of Canaan, you should not do, meaning we always tried to go back to Egypt. We didn't want the land of Eretz Yisrael. And in order for us not to go back to Egypt, Hashem had to make us circle in the desert in a roundabout way. And also Hashem made sure that we came into the land of Israel, even though every chance when things didn't turn out to be 100%, we said that we want to go back to Egypt rather than coming into Eretz Yisrael. So too, you should know that if you have a chance to go to Eretz Yisrael, you should always go straight and not act like our forefathers acted when they were about to come to Eretz Yisrael. The Divyoel asks that independent of the words of the Cleoker, it seems to be a direct contradiction in the Medrashim. He explains that in one Medrash, the one we mentioned previously, we saw that Avraham Avinu chose the land of Canaan because seemingly the character of the people of Canaan were a good character. And then we have to assume, like the Cleoker says, that Yosef would choose for his family the best, the least corrupt of the lands of Egypt. And yet, the Torah's Kahanim seems to say the opposite, because the Torah's Kahanim, and the Yalkut brings it in Remes, Tov Kof Pei Vav, he says, that how do I know that there was no other nation that they corrupted their ways more than the Egyptian? Because the verse says, like the actions of the Egyptian that you do there, you should not do. Which clearly says that the Egyptians corrupted more than any other nations. And then the Divrei Yoel brings the continuation of this Medrash, which the continuation of this Medrash is something that is very hard to understand at face value. The Medrash continues, how do I know that any place that the Jewish people dwelt, the nations amongst us corrupted more than any other nations? Because it's written, Asher Yeshavtem Bo, because you dwell there, Lo Yisasu, you should not do. Meaning that the fact that you are dwelling there That means that they are the most corrupt people. Therefore, you should not act like them. And then the Medrash even goes further and says, how do I know that the fact that the Jewish people dwell there, that is what caused the corruption of the other nations? The Medrash answers, because it says, Asher Yishavtembo, that the corruption of the Egyptians, because you dwell there, therefore Loisasu you should not do. And then the Medrash continues and says, how do I know that the acts of the Canaanites were the most corruptible from all the other nations? Because it says, like the land of Canaan, which I'm bringing you there, you should not do. And then the Medrash continues in the same vein as it did before. How do I know that the last generation before the Jewish people came was the most corrupt generation amongst the Canaanites? The Medrash answers that because you are coming there, therefore the action is going to be corrupt, therefore you should not do. And then the Medrash says, how do I know that the fact that the Jewish people are coming into the land of Canaan, that caused the last generation of Canaan to be the most corrupted generation? Because it says, like the actions of the Canaanites, which you are going in there, you should not do, which means they were corrupt because you are going in there. Which means, in a way, that the Jewish people caused the corruption of the Canaanites. And this is something that is very hard to understand. How can the Medrash say that the Jewish people are the ones that are causing the Egyptians to be corrupt and the Canaanites to be corrupt? The Ravid on his parish on Torres Kahanim is also bothered by this question. And the Ravid goes with the idea that since these people wanted to hurt the Jewish people, they sinned against the Jewish people. And we know that there is a rule that mitzvah goyeres mitzvah. If you do one mitzvah, Hashem makes it that you should be able to make another mitzvah. And the opposite, avera goyeres avera. One sin causes another sin. Therefore, since they had intention or they actually sinned against the Jewish people, that automatically caused them that avera, one sin, will bring another sin. And therefore, because of what they wanted to do against the Jewish people, that caused them to become corrupted. Not that the influence of the Jewish people caused them to become corrupted. It's based on the dictum that an avera brings another avera, and since they wanted to hurt the Jewish people, they wanted to corrupt the Jewish people, therefore, as a consequence, they ended up making more corruption. And this is what the Medrash means to say, that the Jewish people are the cause of the corruption of those nations. The Divrei Yoel answers this question based on the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph 52a. There the Gemara is analyzing the verse in Yoel chapter 2 verse 20, where there the verse says, Vesatzfoini archik me'aleichem, and the hidden one I will distance from you. So the Gemara says that the hidden one is referring Yetzer hara, the evil inclination that is hidden in the heart of a person. Ve'idachtiv el eretz tzio shmo'mo, and I will push him away to a place that is arid and desolate, which means, the Gemara says, lemokim shirei bnei adam mitzuyim lizgor es bohem, a place where the evil inclination cannot find people to incite. And then the verse says there, esponov el hayom hakadmoini, his face to the first sea, which means that the evil inclination laid his hand on the first temple and destroyed it. And he also killed the Torah scholars that were in them. Vesoifoi elayam ha'achroin, and his end was to the last sea. The Gemara says that this is referring to the second temple, that he put his eye on the second temple and he destroyed it. And he also killed the Torah scholars that were there, meaning that the evil inclination caused us to sin, and that caused the destruction of the second temple and also caused the death of the Torah scholars. V'ala v'ushoi, and his foul odor will rise. V'asal tzachnosoi, and his stench will rise. The Gemara says, Shemaniach umoisoilam, that the Satan leaves the nations of the world. Umizgore besoneim shel Yisrael, and he goes and incites the enemies of the Jewish people, which means that the Satan goes and attacks the Jewish people, which literally means that the Satan leaves and tries not to corrupt the other nations of the world, but he wants very much to corrupt the Jewish people. And the Gemara says that the continuation of the verse says ki higdil lasois, because he has done greatly. Omar Abaya says uvetamid chachamim yoise mikulam, that in Torah scholars more than anybody else, meaning that the evil inclination leaves all the nations of the world and it goes entices the Jewish people or tries to corrupt the Jewish people, and the Torah scholars he tries to corrupt even more. And the Divrei Yoel explains why does the evil inclination wants to entice the Jewish people. He says that since we know that in the merit of the Jewish people the world stands, as it's written, Bereshis Bara Elohim, Rashi writes down Bishvul Yisrael Shenukra Reshis, that the world was created because of the Jewish people that are called Reshis. That means that the Jewish people are the most important people on earth. Therefore, the Satan, since he wants to make sure that he does Hashem's job faithfully, he wants to corrupt the most important people of the world. Therefore, normally, the evil inclination does not attack or does not incite the nations of the world. But when the Jewish people are getting there, then the Satan wants to corrupt the Jewish people. And the Satan knows that a person is influenced by his neighbors, the person is influenced by his environment. Therefore, the Satan, in order to corrupt the Jewish people, first has to corrupt the nations of the world. Like that, the Jewish people will be corrupted greatly. Meaning, normally the Satan lets the nations of the world be, and he doesn't go so much against the nations of the world. He only goes against the Jewish people. But one way to get the Jewish person to sin is that if you make an environment that's corrupted, then you are able to entice the Jewish person to corrupt. According to this, the Divrei Yoel explains that now we could reconcile all the Midrashim and also what the original idea of the Kliyakra says. True that when Yosef HaTzadik was in the land of Goshen, then he looked at the land of Goshen, and that was the least corrupted place in Egypt. But as soon as the Jewish people started to dwell in the land of Goshen, the Satan has to start corrupting the Jewish people, and the Satan realized that one way to corrupt the Jewish people is to cause the environment to be corrupted. Therefore, the Satan at that point decided to work on the Egyptians that they should become corrupted, and because of that, the Jewish people will also be corrupted. And that is what the Midrash says, that Egypt was the most corrupted place. Why? Because the Jewish people went there. Not that the Jewish people would cause the corruption by their action. The Jewish people would cause the corruption because the evil inclination now is going to try to attack the Jewish people. And in order to attack the Jewish people, he has to corrupt the neighbors in order to influence the Jewish people. Therefore, every place that the Jewish people go, that is the place that becomes more corrupted. But not because of the actions of Jewish people, because of the actions of the Satan. And therefore also, when Avraham Avinu looked at the land of Canaan, he realized that is the best land. But once Avraham Avinu went in there, and Avraham's children went in there, now the Satan has the responsibility to try to corrupt Avraham Avinu, to try to corrupt his neighbors. Therefore, now Canaan becomes the worst place, and now Canaan becomes a place where there is the worst corruption. And also, because the Jewish people are going to go into Canaan, therefore the Satan is already preparing to what is going to happen in order to try to corrupt the Jewish people. Therefore, the Satan causes Canaan to become corrupted. So, in truth, every place where the Jewish people go becomes the most corrupted place, but not because of the fault of the Jewish people. It is because of the fault of the Satan, because the evil inclination has a job to entice the Jewish people, and an easy way to entice the Jewish people is to make sure that the environment is corrupted. Like that, we're able to entice the people in that corruption. And the Divrei Yoel expands and says that with that we could also answer a question that is asked by the Haggah in Parshas Lech Lecha, in Bereshis chapter 13, verse number 14. There the verse says, Vashem Omar El Avram, and Hashem spoke to Avram, Achare yiporet loit meimoy. After loit separated from him. Rashi asks, what does it mean that Hashem spoke to Avram after loit separated from him? Rashi says, to let you know that while the evil Lot was together with Avram, Hashem did not speak to Avram Avinu. Meaning that since Lot was an evil person, Hashem doesn't want to associate with an evil person. Therefore, Hashem did not speak to Avram Avinu while Lot was there. The Ago on Rashi asks that on chapter 12, verse number 7, there it says, Vayeru Hashem el Avram, and Hashem appeared to Avram, Vayoymer, and he says, Lezaracho eten esa oretz azois, to your children I will give this land. At that time, Lot was still with Avram Avinu, and yet we see that Hashem spoke to Avram Avinu. The Ago answers that we must say that at that time, Lot was still kosher. He was still a righteous person. And the Maloy Omer asks, how is it possible that at that time Lot was kosher, but as soon as they come into Eretz Israel, Lot is corrupted? And the Maloy Omer answers, based on the Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Ches Amad Beis 158b, where there the Gemara says that Avira, the Eretz Israel Machim, that the heir of Eretz Israel makes a person wise. And since we know that there is a rule which is written in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis 52a, Kol HaGodol Mechaveroi Yitzroi Godol Emenu, anybody who is greater from the fellow, his evil inclination is greater than his fellow, meaning the evil inclination works to you according to your standard, meaning the greater you are in level, the greater your evil inclination is going to be. As a matter of fact, based on this idea, I heard a translation in regards to the Mishnah in Avos, chapter 2, Mishnah Hey 5, that there it says, Hillel Oimer, Hillel says, Al Todin es Chaveircha, do not judge your fellow man, Ache Tagia Limkoimoi, until you reach his place. And normally this is meant to say that you should not judge a person until you were in the same predicament, and you should not condemn somebody until you are able to withstand the same temptation as the person, or you were able to withstand the same circumstances as the person. But based on this idea that anybody who is greater than his fellow, his evil inclination is greater than his fellow, then we could say quite opposite. We could say that even though you are able to withstand the same temptation, do not judge somebody else, because since somebody else could be in a higher level, could be that this is the reason why his evil inclination was greater, and that's why he fell. Meaning, atodin es chavercho, do not judge your fellow, ache tagia limkoimoi, until you reach his high place. Maybe the reason why your fellow could not withstand the temptation is because he was in a higher level, and in that level, the evil inclination is greater, and therefore he fell to it. According to this, Sefer Meloy Omer explains that this is exactly what happened to Lot. As soon as Lot came into Eretz Israel, he became wiser, because the heir of Israel makes a person wiser. Once he becomes wiser, obviously the evil inclination now gets stronger, because otherwise you won't have free will, because you are too wise to fall for the tricks of the evil inclination. But unfortunately, once the evil inclination became stronger, Lot could not contain himself, and he became an evil person, and therefore Hashem stopped speaking to Avraham Avinu. Meaning, as soon as Avraham Avinu came to Eretz Israel, Lot was still okay. But once he got wiser, then the evil inclination got stronger, and that corrupted Lot, and therefore he was an evil person. Hashem could not speak to him. The Divrei Yoel explains that based on the other idea that the evil inclination has a mission to try to destroy the Jewish people, we could also say that the evil inclination has a mission to try to corrupt the people in Eretz Israel more than anybody else. And he brings to that also the Rema Mepano, which the Rema Mepano translates the verse in Zechariah, chapter 3, verse number 2, where the verse there says, Igar Hashem Becho Asotin, Hashem is going to scream on you, the Sotin. V'Igar Hashem Becho, and Hashem is going to scream at you, HaBoicher B'Rishalayim, the one who chooses Jerusalem, the Rambam Epano explains that this verse is meant literally, meaning that since the Sot knows that Jerusalem is the holiest place in the world, therefore the Satan makes an extra effort to corrupt Jerusalem, to corrupt the people in Jerusalem. Therefore the Satan is working overtime. So when Hashem is going to scream at the Satan, Hashem is going to scream at the Satan, HaBoicher B'Yerushalayim, who chooses Jerusalem. And the Divri Yoel explains why specifically Jerusalem and why specifically Eretz Yisrael, because this is the land that Hashem gave to the Jewish people. Therefore, he explains that originally when Avraham Avinu chose the land of Israel, the land of Israel wasn't of the Jews yet. Only afterwards Hashem told Avraham Avinu, as it says on chapter 12, verse number 7, Lezarachu etein es haaretz hazois, to your children I'm going to give this land. At that point it became apparent to everybody that Eretz Yisrael is going to be holier than any other place. Therefore, at that point, the evil inclination knows that he has to start working more to corrupt the people that are in that land. Therefore, until that point, Lot was not corrupted. But once Lot came to Eretz Yisrael, now the evil inclination is trying to corrupt him more. Therefore, Lot became more corrupted. And according to this, he explains that this is exactly what is meant by the Medrash. Like the actions of the people in the land of Canaan, which you are going there, you should not do, which means, like the people in the land of Israel, you should not do, because since the land of Israel is going to be a holy place, that is the most corrupt place in the world. And because the Jewish people are destined to go into the land of Israel, therefore the evil inclination is working overtime in the land of Israel to cause its corruption, and therefore any place the Jewish people are going to go, it is the most corrupted place on earth. Sefer Shemeroish has a strong question in regards to the verses that is written in the Torah. He says that I understand the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse says that like the actions of the Egyptians, which you would dwell there, you should not do, because there it makes a lot of sense. Since the Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years, they became exposed to Egyptian culture. Once they became exposed to Egyptian culture and Egyptian customs and Egyptian corruption, then you may come to do that corruption. Therefore, the Torah has to warn you that you should not do according to the Egyptians. But the second part of the verse, where the verse says, Uchemas Eretz Canaan, and according to the actions of the land of Canaan, Asher ani mevi eschem shama, that I'm bringing you there, loisasu, you should not do. Here he says we have a problem, because since in Dvarim chapter 20, verse number 16, we have a mitzvah, loisechaye kon neshama, that we're not allowed to leave anybody in the land of Canaan alive, which means that the population that is there, we require to eradicate. Obviously, if we require to eradicate the population, we'll never get to dwell together with them, we'll never get to learn from their customs. Since we are not going to learn from their customs, why does the Torah need to warn us that we shouldn't act like the corrupt Canaanite? Clearly, we are not going to learn from their actions because they're not going to be alive. So why does the Torah need to warn us specially that we should not act like the Canaanites? In truth, I think that the question of the Shemen Roish is not such a strong question, because since Hashem knows the future, and Hashem knows that in fact we have a mitzvah to eradicate all the people living in Eretz Yisrael, but in fact we did not do that. Therefore, since we did not do that, we are going to dwell next to them, we are going to learn from their customs, we may be corrupted. Therefore, the Torah has to let us know that we should not act like the Canaanites. But Sefer Shemeroish brings a beautiful answer based on the story that happened with the Baal Shem Tov. There's a story with the Baal Shem Tov that once the Baal Shem Tov was going on the road with his wagon driver, and this non-Jewish wagon driver got up in the middle of the road and wanted to kill the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov begged them that he should go a little further and there he should kill him. The wagon driver agreed to it, And as soon as they moved out of that original place, the wagon driver had a change of heart, and the wagon driver asked the Baal Shem Tov for forgiveness for trying to kill him. The Baal Shem Tov explains that he should know that in the original place where this wagon driver wanted to kill the Baal Shem Tov, at one time a person killed somebody else, and because of that, that place became so corrupted that anybody who passes that place gets in him this evil will that he wants to kill somebody else. But once he moved somewhere else, that will already left. And according to this story and this idea of the Baal Shem Tov, we translate what is written in the Mishnah in Novos, the third Perek, Mishnah 3, where there it says, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradya and Omer. Rabbi Hanina ben Tradya says, Shnaim Sheyoshvim, two people who are sitting down, Ve'em Beneyem Divre Torah, and they are not discussing words of Torah, Hareize Moishev Leitzim. This is a place of mockers, a place of scorners. And the question that Meforshim ask is, why does Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion say that if you are not learning Torah, that is a place of scorners? Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion could have just said that if two people are sitting and they're not learning Torah, they are scorners or they are mockers. Why does he say that this is a place of mockers and a place of scorners? But based on this story of the Baal Shem Tov, they explain that this is what Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion is trying to say. That how is it possible that two people are sitting together and they are not learning Torah? How can that be? Since obviously two people are sitting together, Torah would automatically flow between them. Must be that this place that they are sitting is a place that previously had mockers, that previously had scorners, and because of that, it is influencing them not to learn. Therefore, he says that you should be very careful that if two people are sitting together and they're not learning Torah, the only way that this could be is if they are sitting in a place that's a Moishev Leitzim, that's a place that previously had mockers and that previously had scorners, because otherwise it's impossible that they shouldn't learn together. Based on this idea, Sefer Shem Rosh explains that this is exactly what Hashem is now warning the Jewish people. Hashem is telling the Jewish people that like the actions of the land of Canaan that you are going there, you should not do. Meaning that even though you are not going to meet these Canaanites because you're going to eradicate them, and even though you are not going to see their customs because they're not going to be next to you, nonetheless you should know that they are very corrupt. And since they were very corrupt, obviously every place that they dwelt, corruption is going to be in the air, and you are going to feel suddenly to act in a bad way. Therefore, the Torah is warning you specially, be extra vigilant, that you should not act like the Canaanites acted, and you have to be extra strong to overcome that environmental feeling of the corruption of the Canaanites. Because of that, the Torah is telling you that you should not act like them, and you should make sure that you know that they were bad, and therefore you have to do anything possible not to get influenced by their. Sefer Shemeroish asks in regards to the first part that says Kemasa Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yeshavtem Bo Lo Yisasu, like the actions of the Egyptians which you dwell there, you should not do. Why does the Torah have to say kemasa, like the actions? Why doesn't the Torah say masa anshe Mitzrayim, the actions of the Egyptians do not do? Sefer Shem and Roish answers this based on the Ramban in Bereshis chapter 15, verse number 13. There we have the Bris Benas Psorim, the covenant between the parts, where Hashem tells Avraham Avinu that his children, the Jewish people, are going to be enslaved and afflicted for 400 years. The Ramban there asks a question, if this is the decree of Hashem, then why is Hashem punishing the Egyptians for enslaving the Jewish people, since it was already predicted and the Egyptians are only doing what Hashem told it's going to happen to the Jewish people? Then technically the Egyptians should not be punished for enslaving the Jewish people. The Ramban answers that had the Egyptians enslaved the Jewish people for 400 years only because Hashem told them that the Jewish people need to be slaves, then Hashem would not exact punishment from the Egyptians. But since the Egyptians didn't do it because Hashem told them to do it, the Egyptians did it because they had self-interest in it, and also because they had intention to hurt the Jewish people, therefore they were punished for enslaving the Jewish people. And the Kodesh Chazal Levi uses this Ramban to explain the verse that's written in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 10, where there it says that Titen oisos imoivsim, and you impose signs and wonders befaroi v'chol avodov, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, uvechol amartzoi, and upon all his nation, ki odato, because you know, ki ezidu aleihem, that they sinned flagrantly on the Jewish people. The Kedusha Zev explains that this is the reason why Hashem is punishing the Egyptians, meaning that Hashem knows the true intent of the Egyptians, and Hashem knew that they didn't enslave the Jewish people because Hashem told them, but they only enslaved the Jewish people because they wanted to do it flagrantly against the Jewish people, because they hated the Jewish people. Therefore Hashem punished the Egyptians. And to connect to Pesach, Rab Shmelki Meselish explains that what's written in the Agada, Shfoich Chamascha Alagoim, pour your wrath on the nations, Asher Lo Yedaucha, that did not know you, the explanation is not that Hashem should pour the wrath on the nations that do not know Hashem, but the explanation is that Hashem should pour the wrath on the nations, even though the nations are fulfilling what Hashem is telling them, that they should hurt the Jewish people, still you should pour your wrath on them, because Asher Lo Yedaucha, because they do not know you. Meaning, true, they are doing what you tell them to do, but they're not doing it for the purpose you are telling them to do. They're doing it because they hate the Jewish people. They're doing it because they want to destroy the Jewish people, but not because you have commanded them. And the proof is, Asher Lo Yedaucha, because they do not know you. According to this, Sefer Shemeresh explains that this is what the verse is trying to say, that you should not do like the actions of the Egyptians. Even though the actions of the Egyptians were proper, because Hashem told them to enslave the Jewish people, but since they didn't do it with the proper intent, they didn't do it because Hashem told them to do, therefore they were punished. So too, even though you do proper actions, you have to be careful that you do it for the right reason. You do it because Hashem tells you to do it, and not because you have an ulterior motive to do it. So by saying Kemas Eretz Misraim, like the actions of the Egyptians, which you dwell there, you shouldn't do, it means to say that even though those actions are correct actions, but nonetheless, since the intention of the Egyptians were not proper because they did it in order to harm us, they did it because they hated us, and not because Hashem told them, therefore, when you do any action, when you do a mitzvah, when you do anything, you shouldn't do it for an ulterior motive. You should do it only because Hashem told you to do. And Hashem Yisburg should help that in the same way that in the month of Nisan we were redeemed, we should again be redeemed in Nisan, and very soon Moshiach should come, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, b'mheira b'yomeinu, Amen.